Blog Talk Radio.
Yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I'm so glad that you are here. Oh, wow, we got a good show on tonight. I believe that there is a word for us on tonight, a word that will encourage us, that will inspire us, that no matter what we see, no matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like on the outside, that God is truly doing something on the inside. Amen. What I want to do tonight, a little different, is before I get into the word, I want to play a song. Of course, we don't have rights to the song, but I want to play this song. So we're going to take another 4 minutes. This song is about 4 minutes long. We're going to listen to this song while I'm just giving people a chance to come into the audience, get comfortable, sit back before we get into the word. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song while we're preparing for the word of God. Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For those
preparing for today's message, and I was like, Lord, what is it that you want me to know? Because as you all know, it always starts with me, him dealing with me with my indiscretions. He's correcting me or complimenting me or chastising me. It always starts with me. And I've been kind of feeling like, you know, we can't go by our feelings, but we know we're human. So sometimes we just feel like maybe sometimes we feel disconnected, or maybe sometimes we feel like we're just missing the mark, or we feel like we just, you know, we maybe have prayers that we've been praying and we haven't seen the answers to them, or maybe life is happening, and when we see life happen, tragedies, death, destruction, different things, and sometimes it can leave us wondering like, oh, Lord, what in the world is going on? And he began to just minister to me. And so tonight, I believe he wants to encourage us. He wants to encourage us. And I believe that you will be encouraged on tonight. So I'm going to just get to the message at hand. So he, as I was studying and preparing and asking the Lord, what is it that he would have me to tell his people on tonight? What's the message that he wants them to know? And what I heard was seeing God's good. You know, we always say God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We say all those cute cliches. But the message that he wants us to see on tonight is seeing God's good. What did you mean, Coach D? Meaning, sometimes we may not see God's good. We may not see what God is doing on our behalf. We may not see how he's navigating or managing a situation. Heck, we may not even see why he allowed us to go through some of the things he allowed us to go through. Oftentimes, we don't even know the lesson or what it is that we were supposed to get out of it until way down the line after we've been stressed and worried and doubt and all that, and then we'll find out later down the line. But tonight, God wants us to know that he is, when we're his children and when we're diligently seeking him and we're desiring to be in accordance with his will for our lives, that he's always working on our behalf, that no matter what we see on the outside, no matter what we see with our physical eyes, he needs us to know that there's something going on in the unseen realm that we don't know that's going on, that's working together for our good. So let's go over here. I'm not going to read the whole book of Ruth. Ruth is has four books to it. I'm not going to read them, but I'm kind of summarizing just to give you an idea. Some of you have heard of Ruth. Some of you haven't heard of Ruth. Some of you only know about Ruth because you know about Boaz, because Boaz was a big thing during the prosperity teaching. They used Boaz. You know, it wasn't that was Boaz's purpose, but everybody wanted to marry a Boaz, you know. Every woman, single woman wanted to marry a Boaz, but none of them wanted to glean in the fields. So anyway, let me just kind of do a paraphrase, summary breakdown of Ruth. So we'll understand Ruth, who she was. And we always see the beautiful story of Ruth. We see that, she married this rich man, this wealthy man, Boaz. But many of us don't know what was the true story of Ruth. So in Ruth 1, while running away from, okay, so they were in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, it was being said that it was going to be a major famine. So they ran away from, now they is Naomi and her husband and her sons. And her husband and her sons had ran away from Jerusalem, running to a foreign land to get away from the famine. And they ran away to Moab. Moab, then when they got there, their sons ended up taking wives in Moab, which is not their native women, but they married, foreign women. And so they married the foreign women. They live in Moab. And guess what? Ruth loses her husband. So she loses her husband. Now all she has is her sons and her daughter-in-law, and then guess what? 10 years later, she lost both of her sons. So now it's just Ruth and her daughter-in-law, and Ruth is figuring at this time, hey, we came over here to get away from the famine, and as far as Ruth is concerned, she didn't came over here, and just now she's dealing with more tragedy. She done lost her husband, she done lost her sons, and so she decides she's going to return back to Jerusalem. Ruth chapter 2. Basically, Naomi, who is the mother, Naomi bids her daughter, her daughter-in-law, which was Ruth and Oprah. She bids them, hey, I have nothing for you. My sons are now dead. You didn't have no children from them. So you might as well go back to your parents' home and start your life over again, is basically what she was telling them. Oprah packed her stuff as quick as she could, and she got ghost. Okay, she left. But Ruth stayed. And Ruth basically told Naomi that, hey, your God is going to be my God. I'm going to stay here with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to be here for you. Now you got you a daughter. It's basically what Ruth had told Boaz. So, they told Naomi. So anyway, they knew because they didn't have the men in their families. So Ruth decides she's going to go out into the fields and glean you know, to provide for the house and make sure that they had food. And so she goes out into the field, and she didn't realize that the field that she was working in belonged to her deceased father-in-law's cousin. And this is where Boaz come in, because Boaz was a close relative of her father-in-law and her husband, her deceased husband. So she didn't realize she was working in his field. And when Boaz showed up, he inquired about Ruth because he seen somebody foreign and different. He wanted to know who she was, and they made him aware that, you know, that she was his deceased cousin's daughter-in-law. So he showed her favor. He went up. He showed her favor, and he went up to her and just made sure she was okay. He told her where she needed to be at, that she would be safe. He would make sure she was taken care of. You know, hey, you're family. You're family, and I'm going to make sure you're good. And so he just made sure she was taken care of, and she worked the fields with the rest of the women until the harvest season was over. That was in 2. And then in Ruth 3, Naomi's realizing that Ruth is a young woman. She has no children. She has no husband. And so Naomi is realizing that Ruth, she needs to find Ruth a suitable home. She needs to make sure that Ruth is good. I'm sure Naomi at this point is pretty aged, and she don't know how long she's going to be around. But she loved Ruth, and Ruth became like a daughter to her, and I'm sure she had a sense of loyalty, because why? Ruth stuck around. Ruth stuck around and didn't leave her at a time of her having much loss, you know, because she really, you know, afford to lose. Now she lost her husband, her son, and a daughter-in-law. So Ruth stuck around. So that showed a sense of loyalty. So now Naomi's concerned about Ruth's well-being and want to make sure that she's stable. So now Naomi begins to coach Ruth. She begins to coach Ruth on making herself visible and available to Boaz. So she's telling her what she needs to do, and I want you to do this, and, you know, put on your best perfume and put on these nice clothing, and I want you to, you know, on this particular night, he's going to be at this particular place, and he's going to be having a good time, and, you know, he's going to be drinking and having a good time, and I need you to show up there, you know, quietly go in. I need you to show up there, and I need to make yourself visible to him. And so because Ruth honored Naomi as her, like a mother, she did what Naomi instructed her to do. Well, as a result of that, Boaz, and, you know, I'm sure he was probably feeling pretty tipsy when he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he see this woman at the bottom of his feet. And he inquires, who is this? Who are you? What are you doing? And she, you know, said, hey, this is Ruth. And she presents herself to him. And so he makes her aware that, hey, even though I'm a guardian redeemer. So back in those days, when men married, if they died, then the wives were then given to the next in line that would take her as a wife and bear children with her to keep it in the family, so to say. You know, we heard that saying, ooh, she sure was keeping it in the family. But that's not a new saying, because in biblical days, that's what they did. So he let her know, yes, I'm considered a guardian redeemer, meaning next, you know, would be the next person in line, but I'm not the next. There's someone before me. He said, but he took a liking to Ruth, because he was very smitten by her. I'm sure not only because of her beauty, but he was smitten by her because of her faithfulness. She was faithful to Naomi, and he had heard, once he found out who she was, he went and got all the 411 on her, and he wanted to know who she was, how she, and so he heard that she was a one of great character, that she had a good character. So not only did she just have the beauty, but she had the integrity. She was loyal. She stuck with her mother-in-law. She made sure that her mother-in-law would be okay, because her mother-in-law is now a widow, you know, not only losing her husband, but her son. So Ruth wanted to make sure that her mother-in-law, Naomi, was good. And that, I think that pleased Boaz. That did something to him. You know, it made him look upon her favorably. And so he let her know, hey, I'm going to go and talk with the next person in line and let him make him aware that, you know, this land, Ruth, Naomi had a little bit of land that was left over from her husband and son. Hey, I'm going to go check with him, let him know that this land belongs to him, and also with him acquiring or purchasing the land, that he would acquire you. You're part of the package. And if he says no, then I will purchase the land. But if he says yes, then you would go to him. So she agreed. She, you know, she, you know, left there, made sure nobody seen her. She wanted to keep, make sure that she didn't get a bad rep, but she left there. And so now we get to Ruth 4. We get down to Ruth 4, and Boaz speaks with the next guardian redeemer, and they come before a council of men, and Boaz began to advise him of the property that Naomi was selling because her husband and son, her husband and son were, the sons were deceased. The next generation said he wanted to purchase it. So he, oh yeah, I want that land. You know, I'm the next in line. I want the land. So he was ready to get the land, but then Boaz let him know, not only are you getting the land, you have to acquire Ruth, which was the son's wife. All of a sudden, the next in line had a change of mind. I'm not sure why. Who knows? Maybe bringing another woman into what he already had, his situation he already had, was not going to work. And he said that might become a threat to his, you know, to his riches, to his estate. So he decided, you know what? Nah, Boaz, you go in and purchase the land and you acquire this woman. I'm not interested. And so he has a change of mind. They make an agreement. They sign off on the agreement. The council hears it. And Boaz Boaz accepted. So I'm going to read from Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, and we'll go from there. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive. And she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, be with us as we continue to go forth to get the revelation knowledge that you would have for us on tonight. Father, we thank you that your word is to inspire and encourage us, Father God. But Lord, we just say thank you. We give you the glory. You are welcome in the studio. Studio, have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read here on 13 through 16, that she gets married to Boaz. She has a son. She names him Obed. And I know you guys have probably said, okay, Coach B, so well, what is this about Ruth? You then gave us a summary of Ruth, but the but what God brought to my mind about Ruth is this, that Naomi and her boys and her husband, they were fleeing famine, and then they go into this foreign land. Now, stay with me here. And they go into this foreign land, and what happens? Nothing but death. You know, it don't tell us nothing else, but one of the things it do focus on is that her husband and her son die, and she was forced now to go back to her land. And she takes her daughter-in-laws with her, and then one decides, hey, I'm not going to stay here with you. I got a life to live. And the other one stay. Now, for every intent and purpose, this don't look good at all. I'm sure they're struggling. They have no men. They have no covering. See, and it was important back in those days as a woman to have a covering. They had no covering. Her, they were dead. So I'm sure this didn't look good. They're grieved. Who would lose their husband and their sons and not be grieved? They're grieved things and looking, you know, they just not looking great. And so Many of us got situations in our lives that we're going through or we've been through that didn't look great. And we're wondering, Lord, where are you? Have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Where are you at? Why am I going through this? Lord, why am I going through a divorce? Or Lord, why did I lose a job? Or Lord, why I'm not doing this? Or why I'm not doing that? Or why is my kids not acting the way they're supposed to? So many life things that we go through, and when we're going through it, we're going through it. And everybody's thing is important to them. So you might look at somebody else and say, well, your thing don't seem more serious than my thing, but to them it's serious, right? Amen. So to Ruth and Naomi, they were going through. They were struggling. She had to go work in the field. How many of us want to go work in the field, women? We don't. We don't want to have to go work in the field. But she went and worked in the field. What is the field to us today? I mean, yeah, we all go out and work, but some of us are picking and choosing what jobs we work. You know, we don't have a job, but then we saying, I'm not going to go work for $10 an hour. I don't know what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? So just imagine this situation. But the point of the matter is this. God was working something on her behalf in the first place. We know Romans 8:28, what it tells us. But God had already started working on her behalf. She didn't know. She didn't have a clue. Neither did Naomi. But then God was working on her behalf. She came to this place. But what she didn't do is she didn't just sit, murmur, and complain. She had to take action. What you mean, Coach? She had to go. She had to take action. She had to go out to the field. She had to go out to the field and begin to glean. She didn't know whose field she was even going to. Sometimes God would tell you to get up and go somewhere, and what you would tell him, oh, Lord, I ain't going over there. I don't like those people, or, ooh, I'm too tired. I'm not supposed to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. But God is telling you to go somewhere because you don't know what plan he has for you. He may have something specific for you, but because you decide to lay in the bed instead of getting up, you miss what he had for you. Amen? So she got up. She was moving. She was still moving. She was, you know, they say faith without works is dead. When she was walking in her faith, she didn't know she wasn't even looking for a husband. All she was doing is looking to make sure that her and her mother-in-law had a meal, that they had food in their house. So she got up, pulled up her sleeves, went out to the field and said, hey, I got to make a living for us. I got to make sure we okay. And lo and behold, God gave her favor. How many of us that went to a job interview, and it might have been 20 people applying for this one job, but God gave you favor, and you got the job. How many of you, you know, that in other situations, and I can list a bunch of situations where God gave you favor, that God gave you favor. So in this case, God had gave Ruth favor. And as a result of God giving her favor, but also as a result of her being diligent and her being committed and loyal, faithful is the word. As a result of her being faithful, she became the mother of the lineage of our Savior. Because if you know the lineage, remember Ruth had a son and named him Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. We know that our Savior was born to Joseph and Mary, which Joseph and Mary were distant cousins. They were, back then, you know, that happened. You know, cousins down line, third, fourth, fifth cousins was marrying each other and having families and stuff. So Mary and Joseph were distant cousins, and they each fulfilled the prophecy, our prophecy of our Savior, that the Messiah would descend from the house and lineage of who? King David. So Jesus' legal title to the throne of King David was through Joseph, because we know that Joseph wasn't his biological father, but we know that nobody else knew that. We know that he wasn't his biological father, but for all intents and purposes, Joseph was, you know, like they say today, if you sign the birth certificate, you the daddy. If you sign the birth certificate, you the daddy, whether you biological or not. And when you later find out that you're not the biological father, guess what? If you're on the birth certificate, you're still the legal father. So Joseph was Jesus' legal father, and Joseph was a descendant of King David. But not only was Joseph, but his bloodline to the title of the throne was through Mary. So he was out of the, you know, the bloodline of Mary. So Jesus was definitely a lineage of David. So the point here to this story, without going through a whole lot of things, and it's quite simple, that many of us are going through some stuff in life and we don't understand it. We don't understand why we're going through it, because from the naked eye, we can't see. All we can see is the situation. And God is telling us, if you're my child, and you are and you are diligently seeking me, and you're desiring to do the right things by me, not that you're perfect, not that you won't blow it, but your desire, your heart's desire is to give God the glory. Your heart's desire is to be pleasing to God. Then when these things come upon you, these trials and tribulations of life, God is telling you, stand on my promises. Stand on my word. He's telling us that he won't leave us nor forsake us. He's telling us that he is working all things together for our good, right? He tells us in Genesis 50:20, but as for you, ye thought evil. So another thing, what the enemy meant for bad, God has turned around for our good. So we can't get consumed about things that happen that we view in our human minds as bad. You know, to lose a job and not have income is a bad thing in the natural. But what is God doing in the spiritual realm on your behalf? To go through a divorce, that's a bad thing in the natural. But what is God doing in the spiritual for you? What is it that you learned from this lesson? Where is this taking you? Where did it make you a different person? You know, have you been so consumed in your grief of what you're going through that you didn't even take a look at the life lesson that it brought that's supposed to take you to a higher level? It's supposed to take you to a different level, not only just in life, but in God. Because when God sees you through something, then you are aware that, okay, he's seen me through this time. Guess what? He can see me through again. So life is not going to stop happening. You're not going to stop going through situations and circumstances. Pain is not going to stop as long as you live. There's going to be moments and seasons of pain. How we deal with that pain is the question. Do we just sit on it? Do we let it just cremate? Do we just let it continue? Or do we begin to try to process that pain? What you mean, Coach? Do we begin to try to recognize, okay, how did I get, first of all, recognizing, how did I get in this situation? Because many of us are in painful situations, not because of the devil, but we always want to blame everything on the devil, but we're in painful situations because of choices and decisions that we made. God told you that wasn't your wife, and yet you pursued her. You ran after her, and you thought that was the one. And the next thing you know, you got yourself in a bad situation. Why? Because you didn't seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, but I thought I heard God. Did you really hear God? And so now you're in a situation. You heartbroken. You know, you're going through a divorce, or you lost your money because you invested everything in this person, and it didn't turn out to be who you thought it was. Same thing with a job. I mean, you guys have heard me. If you've been following my show for any amount of time, this is not new information. We know this. We go and get jobs. We pray and believe God for a job. And we get the job. And we're believing, oh, because I prayed and I believe God for this job. I got this job. And then we find out, man, this job was a nightmare. You know, you wanted the job so bad. But then you get it, and it turned out to be a nightmare because you wasn't willing to wait. You wasn't willing to wait on the one, the thing, the job, the spouse that God had for you. And now you're going through. But even in us making our own bad decisions, God is still working on our behalf. You know, we made a decision. It wasn't a God decision. So we know that if it ain't a God decision, then it's what? It becomes a darkness decision. There's only two forces in this world. You got light and you got dark. So if you're not staying in the light and making decisions that's according to the light, then you're making dark decisions. So now you done made a dark decision, and the enemy wants you to make dark decisions because he got a job to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you make these dark decisions, guess what? He's working on. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing his job. Okay, yeah, you made this decision to get with something that you didn't seek God first. So, okay, I'm glad you made this decision. Now let me make your life miserable. And still, even in that, God is saying what the enemy meant for bad, he's turning around for our good. He's turning around for our good. He also goes on to tell us that even when things seem dark and things seem tragic and all hope appears to be gone, we've been in situations where you just feel hopeless. Like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I can't see for the life of me. And many of us have been there. Many of us have been there. And then we got to remember, wow. And this is a popular scripture, but the scripture is so profound to stand on. But Romans 8 and 28, he says, and know this, that all things work together for good to them who what? Love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. So my question would be for you on tonight and to myself, do I love God? Am I called according to his purpose? Am I a child of God? And if I'm a child of God and I love God and I'm called according to his purpose, then I got to believe that God is working all things together for my good. I have to believe that. So no matter what situation I'm in, I got to trust and believe that God is working all things together for my good. And it ain't on my time, because that's not how God works. We don't dictate to God how he's going to do this thing. He's going to do it according to his will and his good pleasure. He's going to do it not on our time, but Lord, I need you to make this happen like today or yesterday, or you got to do it like this. And no, that's not how that works. He's going to do for us based on what we need and not what we want. And the problem with us is that if we don't know how to be obedient and submit to God, see, submission is important, not just for females, it's important for us as children of God, because guess what? There is no male or female. All of us is the bride of Christ. We all bride. And so we got to learn how to submit to God first. And if you don't even know how to submit to God, it's going to be very difficult for you to submit to people. And God, you know, and God is telling us, you know, especially in marriages, that's a God covenant, you know, and that's one of the only God covenants. But he's telling us submission is important. So we got to be able to submit to God. We got to be able to trust that whatever God does is best for us. And even if it may not look like what you want it to look, don't let the enemy have you fooled into thinking that whatever you want, you could get. Name it and claim it. It's yours. You got to speak it into existence. If it don't line up with the word of God for your life, guess what? It might exist. It may come to existence, but it wasn't because of God. And I don't want nothing that God don't want for me. There's a lot of things that I do want, but my prayer is always, Lord, I want this, but God, I want what you want for me. What you desire for me is what I want. And his word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I want what God desired for me, because you know why? I didn't got stuff I wanted. I didn't made an effort to go out there and get what I wanted. But then I learned that what I wanted wasn't best for me. It wasn't what I needed. Because everything that looked good ain't good for you. And I had to realize that. And we still, you know, in this flesh, there's still things that I think I want. There's still things that I think I want. But I have a daily prayer. And my daily prayer is, Lord, please remove anything and anyone out of my life that's not a part of your purpose or your plan for my life. So I meet people, I see things, and I notice things, and I notice people and things disappear from my life. All of a sudden, they just not around no more. And initially, I probably be hurt feeling it. you know, that person just stopped calling, or that person ain't around. And, ooh, you know. But then God reminds me, watch what you pray for. Because if you're praying for me to remove things and people out of your life that's not a part of my purpose in your life, then you got to be prepared to let those things go. You got to be prepared to let those things go. And so now my prayer is even asking God to remove these things, but for him to give me godly wisdom to know when he's removing them so that I don't go chasing after them, that I don't go thinking, oh, yeah, this I got to go figure out why this ain't working. I got to make it work. No, I don't want to make it work. I want what God has for me and me only. I don't want to have to be just getting stuff I want that's not part of his plan for my life. So we got to be diligent in that fact. We got to get to a point in life where it's not about us. It's not about what you want and what you want to do and who you want. It's about what does God want for me? Because, see, if God wants it for you and God gives it to you, then God is going to oversee it. And what is going to be good? Because in Genesis, he said that everything he did was what? Good. He said he spoke it, it was, and it was good. And so I want the good. I want to see God's good in every situation. I want to know and believe and trust that God is working on my behalf, that God has ordained people in my life. I don't want to just be getting attached. Maybe God has given you an assignment to somebody's life. Maybe somebody strictly came in your life just for you to minister to, but now you done got into an entanglement. Not just an attachment, but you done got into an entanglement with this person, and you thinking, oh, this is supposed to be my boo. This is supposed to be my husband, or this is supposed to be my wife. And really, maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's just that God sent that person into your life to minister to them, but because of you lacking discipline, ooh, Holy Spirit, you lacking discipline, you missed the window of opportunity to be able to minister to this person. Amen. So again, the encouraging factor, if you are a child of God and you trust him, hold on to his promises, stand on his word. It may not always be comfortable, and at times it could just be plain scary. And it may not be what you wanted, but it will always, always be what you need. God is saying in this season, there's some of you that's hurting. Everybody ain't hurting. Everybody ain't going through. But guess what? If you're not going through now, that's okay. Praise God. Give him the glory, because guess what? You're probably going to be going through later, because I don't know now one person living on this earth that has not been through a storm, in a storm, or getting ready to go in a storm. Such is life. There's valleys and there's peaks. And you may be on the peak today. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Take every opportunity out of it that you can and get prepared, because there will be a valley. Amen. There will be a valley. But God is saying to us, we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. And he's saying that he's working things out. If we belong to him, he's working things out for us. He's not leaving us nor forsaking us. He's telling us in this to stay humble. One, stay humble. And humble means don't murmur and complain. Don't walk around cussing and fussing and mad and bitter and angry because things ain't working out according to plan. So he said, stay humble. The second thing he's saying is always, always, always have a repentant heart. Always have a repentant heart. Always be willing to change your mind. David was a man after God's own heart because of his repentant heart. And repent means to change your mind. He was always willing to change his mind. I've seen this situation like this. Oh, God, but I know I wasn't looking at it right. I'm changing my mind. I don't want to do it like that no more. So he said, so stay humble, have a repentant heart, and keep your mind and your heart stayed on him. That's the only way that we could stay humble. That's the only way that we can have a repentant heart, is by keeping our heart and mind stayed on God. We got to, because there's so many other distractions. And we know it. We got distractions with these cell phones. We got distraction with social media and everything that come up on that. If you see 1,000 images in an hour, if you see 1,000 images in an hour, 990 of those images is something demonic and deceptive, not positive. It is there to lure you in to consuming your thoughts, and that whatever consumes your thoughts will consume your actions. So it ain't a lot of stuff you're seeing on there that's really promoting the truth. And what's the truth for us as believers? The truth for us as believers is that word of God. That's our truth as a believer. And it's not a lot of that. You see some of it, but it's a very small percentage. And the negative that you see, the darkness that you see, is far greater in numbers than the light that you see. So he's saying, keep your heart and mind stayed on him. Stay humble. Have a repentant heart. Stand on his word. Trust that God will do what he say he will do. And I will leave you all with this, Psalms 37 and 25. And this says, I have been young and I have been old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So just know that he's God, and he owns everything, and we just have to trust and stand on his word, and we got to be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice, and obedience requires discipline, and we talked about this. So if you're not disciplined, it's probably going to be hard for you to be obedient, but we got to be disciplined to be obedient, so that when God is talking to us, and he's telling us to go, we're obedient to go. If he tells you to be still, be obedient to be still. Amen? Be obedient to be still. I'm going to take a minute because we do have a little time left, but I'm getting us out of here on time. Last week we went over. But if you're listening in on tonight to this message, and maybe you have a comment that you may have a question about the message on tonight, or if you just want to mention, state, how did the message bless you? Did it bless you on tonight? Feel free to dial one on your dial pad. That'll let my team know that you have a question or comment about tonight's message. Again, you can dial one on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. I'm not going to dwell this long. We do have a few minutes, and I just thought I'd take the time to open up the platform for those who might have a comment or a question. If you're listening in through internet, unfortunately, you can't present your questions there, but you can always call into the studio, 425-292-4444, if you would like to state a comment or a question. If not, I love you all. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, I pray that the message on tonight just really encouraged us. I do know that we're in some dark times. People are going through things. And I do have someone, Brother Q. Welcome.
Amen.
Welcome to
you. Amen. Amen, sis. I just wanted to chime in and let you know that this was a powerful message. And I received it, and I just really wanted to reach out in encouragement for you, and to let you know that we are listening, and we appreciate you. And sometimes we need to hear that as teachers, right? So that's what really what this comment was about, and just to encourage you to keep doing the things you're doing, and to know that God is using you, and I've been blessed by it. So thank you.
Oh my gosh! Thank you. That was the Holy Spirit. So I appreciate you and thank you for your support and tuning in weekly. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. So I thank you for that comment and appreciate you. And if anyone else have a question or comment, please dial one on your dial pad. That will let us know that you do have a question or comment about tonight's message. Again, we won't keep you long, and I thank you for tuning in. We will be back here on next Thursday, same time, same place. trusting that God will deliver a word that's right on time. We never know what we need, and oftentimes we don't know what we need until we get it. And so, again, I pray that this word was encouraging for you to know that no matter what you're going through and no matter what the circumstances look like, that God sees it and that he's working on your behalf. And sometimes we'll just be like, okay, Lord, can you just move a little faster? But he's not governed by time. He's governed by results. So, again, thank you for tuning in. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And guess what? We will see you all on next week. Good night.